Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to meet here together, to worship your name, to celebrate what you have done for us, to wind up another year in thankfulness for what you have done in our midst, and to proceed forth into the next with no fear and confidence that you will do what you said that you will do. May our hearts be open to hear your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This is about the time of year when we start to think about New Year's resolutions. We like to make them. I found a website called statistic.com that had some statistics on from what looks like an informal survey that they did about New Year's resolutions. About 46% of us made some kind of resolution last year, and they are often something to do with self-improvement in some way. About 53% wanted to save money. 45% wanted to lose weight or get in shape. About 25% were thinking about something else that I'm not going to mention. About 24% wanted to travel more. 23% wanted to read more books. And 22% wanted to learn a new skill. 21% wanted to buy a house. 16% wanted to quit smoking. 15% wanted to find love. But we don't necessarily like to keep the resolutions that we make. Overall, out of the entire population, about 4% of the people said that they kept their resolutions. About 8% kept most, about 16% kept some, and about 13% said they kept none.
That'd be me.
About 4% don't know whether they kept their resolutions or not. I guess they forgot what they resolved. And about 55% didn't make one at all. If you take that down then and only look at the 46% that did make resolutions, 8% said they kept all of them, 17 said they kept most, 35 said they kept some, 28 said they kept none, and 8% don't know. Or else they don't want to admit that they didn't keep the ones they made. Or maybe they made them while they were enjoying the New Year's Eve festivities. But surveys in general, and this is kind of an aside, but I think it's an important thing for us to keep in mind. Anytime you hear statistics, you ought to be skeptical. Now, this particular survey has a very limited scope. For one thing, it's online, which means only the people who get online would have a chance of seeing it. And, only a percentage of the population, probably more than not these days, have any desire or ability to be online. So you've limited it there. And those that do have the opportunity may or may not have ever seen this thing. And then an even smaller percentage are going to bother to take the time to actually take the survey. So you see, you've really got a very small population you're working from. It's not at all representative of the entire population. And result statistics can be manufactured, can be manipulated to really say anything you want them to say. They can't help but be affected by the bias of the people that are taking the poll. It depends on the way the questions are done, which may be intentionally or not, but the questions, the way they're asked, can give one the desired results that they want. Just to take a somewhat dangerous topic to get into here, but take healthcare for instance. Well, if you ask, should everybody have healthcare, I would reckon that probably most people are going to say, yeah, everybody should have healthcare. Now, you didn't ask the rest of the question, though. Should you be required to pay for everybody else's healthcare? Now you're going to get a different answer, aren't you?
No.
So you see how the questions, the way you ask the questions, have a lot to do with the answers you get back. And if you want certain answers, you just ask the right questions. Now this survey is, you know, pretty harmless. It doesn't really amount to much. But you can ask some questions about it. Were the participants given multiple choice to come up with those resolutions? Or did they fill in blanks? If they filled in blanks, how were the results interpreted? How did people come up with these few categories that we read off? Someone had to synthesize all that. How good a job did they do? Would they prefer answers that they thought were more interesting? All these things we need to ask about statistics whenever we hear them. We got election year coming up, and you're going to get all kinds of polls. Just remember, when you hear those polls, there's a lot of questions need to be asked behind those polls before you know what they really mean. But what about New Year's resolutions? It's not necessarily a bad thing. But if we're going to make them, I mean, it's good to have goals, but good goals need to be specific. You should know what it is you want to get to and how you're going to get there. They should be reasonable. If you set them so high that there's no way you can read them, you'll be discouraged and nothing good comes of it. But if you set them too low, they're not worth the trouble. What have you done once you've done it? If it's set too low, you made yourself feel good, maybe, but you didn't accomplish much. A goal ought to stretch us a little bit, ought to be a little bit beyond what we think we can do. And how about a Christian's goals? How about a Christian's resolutions differ from what we might see in the rest of the world? We noticed how self-oriented all these goals were that we read, all these resolutions. Now, self-improvement's okay. After all, our bodies are God's temple. We should want to take care of them. It's good to have resolutions it's good to want to do things to make our health better. Anything that aligns with His purposes is a good goal. Or we might consider things like studying the Word more, praying more. Having an outward focus, being more concerned about sharing the gospel maybe to a specific number of people, or investing in discipling someone, it might be a good resolution to have, or maybe to give more to things that advance God's kingdom. But here's really the thrust of what I wanted to share with you today. It's just this question. If you already know what you need to do, if we already know what we need to do, what are we waiting for? Don't wait on the calendar. It's just a calendar. It's wrong anyway. It's just the way that we mark time. If it's a good thing to do, let's just do it. If it was good to do at the beginning of the year, it's good to do now. If it involves something that we know we should be doing, to delay is sin. James chapter 4, verse 17 is the central verse that I put up on the screen. It simply says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him, it is sin. Now, let's notice something about this verse. There's a word there. There's a word there that tells us something.
Therefore.
The therefore, you got it. There you go. There's a therefore. Whenever there's a therefore, we need to know what it's there for. I think Tony Evans is the one that originally coined that. But we there's more to this. So, in this case, that sort of threw me. Because what comes before doesn't seem to necessarily relate directly. But I think he's saying, now you know, so since you know, you've got to do the right thing. But he said, come now, again, I didn't put it on the screen, I'm just going to read it. He said, starting back in 13, if you want to look, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you all say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. There's a broader context to then that next statement that he makes. He's dealing with this topic of conduct that fails to acknowledge God and makes our own plans and decides what we're going to do without consulting, without realizing that there is a sovereign Lord who is over all, who is truly in charge of our lives. And then he goes on to speak some things specifically to the rich. Of course, I've shared with you before, we're all rich here. But the point can be generalized. As we've said, therefore, now you know. So do what you know. Because if you know what is right and you choose not to do it, now you're in sin. But there's a warning here from the context. Never leave God out of your plans. He is in control whether we acknowledge it or not. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. Again, a few verses down, it says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A lot of times, we focus on as people, we focus on the thou shalt not. And we do well to do that because they're there for a reason. They're there because our Heavenly Father wants the best for us. And he sets those boundaries for us, for our protection and for our well-being.
Amen.
And we'll spare ourselves much grief if we'll live his way.
Amen.
But if we stop there, then we're little more than children who have only learned the word no because they hear it so much. But as we mature, we grow into something greater. We begin to recognize God's sovereignty. And our goals that we have should align with him.
It's true.
But to do that, if we're going to align our goals with his, then we're going to have to know him. And we talk about knowing Jesus. We talk about coming to know the Lord. And certainly it starts with that decision. But as we walk with him, we come to know him better. We know him through the studying of his word. And through the fellowship that comes with spending time in prayer before him. And also, When we begin to cooperate with Him, when we begin to work with Him and do the things that He calls us to do, when we're submitted to Him by obeying His written commands, and also by obeying those things which He has given to us personally. If you've been walking with the Lord for any time, you know you have those things. I know I have those things. Sometimes I keep them, sometimes I'm not so good at it. And finally, plan, yes, it's good to plan. But James reminds us, don't presume. Always look to the Lord first. And so the question for us today, again, what are you waiting for? Tomorrow is not promised to us in this life. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. If it's the right thing to do, do it now.
Right.
Because to not do it is to fall into sin. So I promise to keep it short, so I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for constantly teaching us, for helping us to grow, for showing us how to draw closer to you, how to walk in your ways. I pray that as we enter this new year at Bartimaeus Baptist Temple, that we learn as a church how to walk in step with you and how to do those things that you have called us to do as a church, that we may grow and become healthy and ready to take your word to those who need it most.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.